We desire your prayers. We are dependent upon the Lord. I'm thinking about the scene of the Jordan River where John the Baptist was baptizing those that would come to him. And he made a statement. He said, "What did you come out to see? Did you come out to see somebody that was dressed in fine clothes? And what did you come out to see?" I'm thinking this morning, time itself. Did you know that what is being recorded in heaven this morning is that on 23rd Street, at the Little Church of God Chapel, that the doors were open this morning, and that there were those that came? What did you come to see? What did you come to hear? In that recording, I believe the Lord is saying, time is not too far off, but I want them to continue. I don't want them to give up going to the services, because my word says that. My word says for me and you not to forsake, and I would like to say also neglect, the assembling of ourselves together. And it says we're to do that much more so as we see that day approaching. For every generation they have stood on that scripture. They have repeated it in the ears of the people. And for past generations, their day did come. And there's coming a day that our day will come, or the day of the Lord. And so I look upon our setting this morning, and I look upon another Sunday morning. Oh, may we not be just doing it by habit only. Habit is good. I like a habit. It can work for us. But come out and hear, because time is fast moving on. And how fast did this last week go? It seemed like only yesterday or the day before was Sunday. And our days are just going through our hands as though we're pouring water. And we can't call it back. And we can't retrieve any of it. And we're biding. Do you ever feel like you're biding time? That you're waiting? That you're waiting for something? I think we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. We have a thought this morning we'd like to, by the help of the Lord, give to us. I think about the kinds of messages that the Lord sends. You know, He sends all kinds, every kind. He sends the messages to encourage, doesn't He? He sends the messages to give instruction. His word says this, by the way. He sends the messages that just simply are instruction, and then He sends messages that are reproof, and then He sends messages that warn. He sends them all. And it's hard for us to compare the one over the other and say, oh, that was a good message. And then maybe we had something that wasn't quite so, well, it might not be as exciting. I'll use that term. I don't like that term, actually, but sometimes we can be challenged a little bit more than we are at other times. So at the end of today, you will have to make your own judgment of what kind of message this would be. We desire your prayers that the Lord will help us. A very wonderful topic, hope. The very word hope, doesn't that do something to you? How often do we use that word in our everyday life? Somebody come up to you and say, what are you going to do? Well, I hope to, because you don't know. You don't know what you're going to do, so you can only hope. But hope is just used in a lot of different ways. I hope where I'll be next year. I hope what I will do. But there is a hope that is far beyond all of those words that you and I use casually in our everyday conversation. There is a hope that we need to grasp hold of, and it need to be in our heart, in our life. And oftentimes we just sort of not think about it. But I'd like for us to think about hope this morning. What would be the opposite of hope?
Despair.
We can be in despair this morning. Be without hope. God wants us to have a hope. You know what the word hope means? It means for that when I have confidence with expectations. I like that word, expectations, because we all have expectations for life itself, don't we? But I like that scripture that says about our expectations being in God. We can be so disappointed by people. Maybe we've had expectations in others. Maybe they didn't just treat us like we expected them to. And I often think about how that we have expectations, but we don't put a sign here that says, and I've said this to the congregation before, we don't make a big sign and say, I want to be treated like this. But we know in our heart and our mind how we want to be treated. And when we're not treated that way and our expectations have not been met, then we're disappointed. But let me tell you, if you have your expectations in God, you're never disappointed. If you truly place all of your hopes in God, you will not be disappointed. Thank the Lord. That's my testimony this morning, and I'm sure it is the testimony of all who have found it so, that God has met our expectations. Thank the Lord. Well, let's start out reading a scripture, because you know, if I stand up here and say all of these words and only the Word of God is my hope, it's where I'm going to find hope. But I'd like to read 1 Peter 3, 12 through 15. Parts of those verses say this: For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. What a hope. Do you find a hope in the fact that when you bow before the Lord, or if you don't bow, if you're not able to get down on your knees, have you had days that you couldn't get on your knees? If it hasn't happened, it will. Have you learned to pray sitting up? I remember Sister Burdett said that she had to learn how to pray sitting up. Sister Burdett was a prayer warrior. She spent a lot of time on her knees. But there came a day she could no longer get down on her knees, but she learned to pray in the position that she had. What a hope. God hears prayer. He hears the cry of the heart. He knows what your needs are. He knows your burden. He knows your care. He knows it all. And it says, His eyes are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. Verse 13, And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Have you ever had to suffer for righteousness' sake? Did it make you happy? Most of the time, we don't quite feel so happy in the midst of it. Maybe we have to press through and gain a victory and surmount that place, and then we're happy. But what do you have in the midst of it? A hope. A hope that this thing will not last forever. A hope that this thing will come to an end. Because he said, He that endureth to the end. Oftentimes we read that scripture and we think of, and it does mean this, to the end of my life. But I like to think of it also to the end of the trial. If I don't endure to the end of a trial or the end of this hard place, I won't be saved. Now, I'm not saying you backslide, but I'll miss the blessing. We must hope to the end. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. What does that mean? To sanctify something is to set it apart. Let your heart be set apart unto holiness and hope. Lord, I'm going to hope in spite of hope. Didn't one of the patriarchs of the Bible say that? He hoped against hope. Have you ever had to hope against hope? Everything looked like it was falling apart. Wasn't going to work out. Wasn't going to be that good end. And did you go on hoping anyway? Hope is a wonderful thing. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And this is what I'm going to ask you. Be ready. Always. To give an answer to every man that asketh you. Has anyone asked you this week, what do you hope in? Oh, I hope that our government is going to really turn around. I hope that the elections will be just so. If we're hoping in those things, we're going to be disappointed. Our expectations in earthly things are not going to satisfy like the hope that we have in God. Don't place your hope in anything else. Don't hope in man's help. Only hope in God's help. So when somebody asks you, what's the reason of your hope? It says that ye that is in you with meekness and fear. When somebody asks you, give them an answer. Look away from all of this world and this earth and look for that genuine hope. Well, that's our beginning thought this morning. I have to turn to our songbook now. There's a lot of words about hope in our book. So if you want to, I don't have the numbers, may not be able to follow me. I just put down some phrases. These songwriters have penned a lot of songs that you and I sing, and we just sing that word hope and just go right on singing. But this morning, because this word was on my heart, I noticed that the young people had some verses that had the word hope in them. they stood out to me. Why? Because I was thinking of this word hope. And then as we sang our songs, every time we sang the word hope was in one of our songs, it stood out to me. Here's one of the phrases. Hope is a God-given anchor to the soul. Don't you know that you need an anchor in life? An anchor in order to see the end of your life with victory? In order to have the blessing of the Lord, you need something that is anchored, and hope is it. Hope is my anchor this morning. Hope that God is going to bring me through. Hope that His grace will be sufficient. Hope that I can endure to the end. Hope. Oh, it's a wonderful word. Hope within our hearts assures us. This is part of a song. I'm just giving you some phrases out of our song. Hope in our hearts assures us. Assures us what? What's the next part of that? It is better farther on. That's what hope says. It's not always going to be like this. It's going to be better tomorrow. Look for it to be better tomorrow. That's my hope. It assures me it's going to be better farther on. Another one says, He then is all my hope and stay. You see, if you've sang these songs and just a little phrase, it comes back to us, doesn't it? He wants that to be ringing in our hearts and our minds when you're going about your work, when you're going about the duties of life, and maybe your mind has to be upon your work and what you're doing. But won't it be wonderful when He brings a portion of a song and you mingle that with your duties of life, and it feeds you and it strengthens you and it builds that hope that it's going to be farther, better, farther on. And then another one says, this is Psalm 23. It's on hope. It has a lot of things in there about hope. I have a hope. And then one of them says, serene and sure. You know, we need serene hope this morning. We're living in such a turmoil world. There is so many things that's trying to press in on our minds and put pressure upon us, such as Lorinda said, the stresses was causing stomach problems. I want to tell you, the stresses of life right now are causing health problems to a lot of people. A lot of people are under situations where they don't know what's wrong with them. And they go and they be checked out and they say, there's nothing wrong there. It must be stress. You know what? We need a hope that's serene and sure. Gives me calmness. Have you ever prayed and said, Lord, calm my spirit? When my spirit is stirred up, when I don't know what to do, and I don't know how it's going to turn out, do you turn to hope and say, Lord, give me that hope that will cause my heart to be serene and sure? Thank the Lord. I have a hope that doth not fear. Does life carry some fears? Yes. There's a lot of things that you and I, in our imagination sometimes, that we can fear. I've been one that has been fearful. I've had a problem with imaginations down through my life. I've had the problem of even going into a panic because of those fears. And seemingly all hope was gone. I'm not proud of it. God has helped me. He's worked with me on it. But not very long ago, it happened to me again. It's generally over my husband. If he doesn't come home on time, my imagination takes over. He must be dead. And I'm going to have a funeral. And all of these kind of things come in on me, and I go into a panic. Absolutely. I'm sorry to confess it, but you know, maybe confessing it may help me. All hope is gone. See, he didn't come home on the right time. You know what? The devil wants to take your hope. He wants your hope to be dimmed. One song says that. I have a hope that doth not fear. We're human beings of the earth, and we have fears. Will I be left alone? If you spoke to someone here this morning, specifically Irma, who was left alone, lost her husband, she might tell you that, yes, I had some fears. All of us are going to deal with fears of one kind or another. Do you know what I've seen in Irma? I don't mean to pick on her. I've seen the grace of God. And that has given me hope. If he doesn't come home, if he dies, if I'm left alone, my hope is that God's grace is sufficient. I'd like to mention Sister Nelda. Yes. I've had a great admiration for Sister Nelda. Now listen, if this happens to me, you all may have preached this to me, but I have admired Sister Nelda. Yes. The grace of God has been there, and it gives me hope.
Yes, it does.
That if it does, I've even said it. I've said, Lord, if this does happen to me, I want that same kind of grace. There's hope there. You know, there's other fears. You may have a fear that I can't relate to. Maybe you can't relate to the fear I'm talking about right now. But I want to tell you, hope in God.
Yes, amen.
With whatever your fear is this morning, give it to the Lord. I have a hope that doth not fear. Now, what is the next part of that? The what? The silent grave to view. Now, what kind of fear is that? I'm afraid to die. Have you ever been afraid to die? I had those fears when I was growing up. It's because I looked at this body, and this is the only body that I had, and I imagined it in the grave, and it just terrified me. It's only when you have a hope that the soul is going to leave that body and not be buried in the ground. But let me tell you, I can tell you also what the Bible says about the grave. The grave is cruel. It compares it to jealousy. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. But I want to tell you that when our daughter was taken, I was able to go to the funeral, but I was not able to go to the grave. So it was a couple of weeks before he was able to take me out there. I will never forget it as long as I live. I found the grave very cruel. We call it the silent grave. It is silent. It's cold. It's cruel. The grave was a fresh grave still. I wanted to dig her up. The grief was greater than what I could hardly bear at that moment. But what do you think we have on her stone? What do you think we have printed on her stone? Weep not as those who have no hope. That's how we worded it. Weep not as those who have no hope. Where's our hope? Our hope is in the resurrection. Our hope is in the fact that we believe with all of our heart that she was saved and ready to go. Our hope is that if I remain saved and I remain in the love of God and in the grace of God, I'll see her again. So, I have a hope that doth not fear the silent grave to view. Whether it's my grave or whether it's the grave of a loved one, God wants to give you and me hope beyond the grave. Thank the Lord. The next one is, I have a hope that looks away. What does it look away from? What does it say? What?
Present woes.
Present woes and
tears.
We ask in the beginning what was the opposite of hope, and Brother Doug said despair. Aren't tears shed when we feel despair and hopelessness? Absolutely. What happens about our tears? Does God count our tears? Does he bottle them up? Does the scripture say that he bottles up our tears? He does. I think about a song that I heard one time. It says, tears are a language that God understands. Sometimes when we're in that place, and it's only tears and we can't say anything, we don't have any words, our tears are speaking the words that we can't say. And he understands them. He knows the depth of our tears. Where's our hope then? Our hope is in the fact that God understands when I'm shedding my tears. And when I don't know what to do. That's my hope. I have a hope that looks away from the present situation, from the present tears that I may be shedding. Thank the Lord. Strength of my soul. Hope is the strength of your soul. That's a phrase from one of the songs. Hope is the strength of my soul. Hope that is clear and bright. That's a phrase in our book. And then number 51. My hope is built on nothing less than what? Jesus Christ. Jesus' blood and righteousness. Did you know this morning you can't hope in anything else for your soul's salvation, except his blood and his righteousness? That's where your hope has to be. The last one that I have down here, oh, there's many. If you get the book, you can find a lot of phrases on hope. Hope has brought us through the dangers and temptations of the past. What's the last part now? And we fear not those to come. We don't fear those to come. Why? Because my hope was not disappointed when he met me in the past. And my hope is that he will meet me in the future. Thank the Lord. Well, those were written by men inspired by the Holy Ghost. I would like to give us some scripture now. I'm going to call this the objects of genuine hope. when I thought of this, I thought, well, what would I start with? I'm going to have to start with the hope of the gospel. Because the Lord says that through the foolishness of delivering his word in this manner awakened some hope in me with good news. That's what the gospel is. Good news. The good news is that there is redemption, that there is salvation, and that there is deliverance. That's my hope. And that is your hope, your only hope. In the gospel message is to hear messages that you can be redeemed, that you can be saved, that you can be sanctified, that you can be delivered. You see, in life, you and I take on characteristics, spirits, if you will, family traits, all of these things that make us who we are, that are not necessarily a compliment sometimes. Do you know we can have family traits that aren't really a compliment? We may even see it in some of our family members and say, I don't want to be that way. And we may even pray and say, Lord, help me not to be like my family. I'm telling you this morning that God, and I'm telling you this by experience, that God has a hope. That he wants to take your vessel and my vessel and put it on the potter's wheel. And he wants to form a vessel that will glorify him. And by doing so, he's going to fashion you and me and remove those things that are simply family traits that he's wanting to temper and shape and mold. And if you've got a perfect family, I'd like to hear about it. We all have some family traits that needs to be tempered to be a glory to the Father. That's the hope of the gospel this morning. I know some of the things that God has delivered me from that were nothing more than family traits and did not compliment the Father. Maybe some of you have heard me tell this. In my family, we had a trait of exaggeration. And I remember as just a little girl, and we were coming back from Enid, our whole family. You know, back then we had a whole bunch of people in the car and we stuffed in there. There were five of us children and mother and daddy. I was sitting in the front seat. Mother was in the middle. I had my head laying in her lap and I was conjuring up an exaggerated story of what I did that day. And I told it, and my sisters jumped on me. Now, my sisters have been good exaggerators. I'm not saying they got delivered or anything, but God sure did use them. They jumped on me and told me, you know that didn't happen that way. I remember laying my head back in my mother's lap, and I said, I never want to do that again. And I was very conscious of it. And when I was real sick one time and looking to the Lord, and the Lord gave me the song that I said to the Lord, Lord, why didn't you prepare me for this sickness? And he said, I did. I gave you the song. That song was, Just trust Him and be true and see what He will do. He'll never disappoint your soul. When you have done your best, let Jesus do the rest. Just keep your eye upon the goal. And that song sustained me through that whole sickness. I was sick about 6 weeks. And I made the statement, I have sang that song a million times. And Lauren Vince will say, don't exaggerate. See, He knew it was part of my family. And I came back with it. Honey, I believe I did. I was singing it in my dreams and in my sleep. It sustained me. But you know, the Lord wants us to recognize the weaknesses of our family and come to Him. That's the gospel story. That's the good news. You still love your family. It's not that I'm putting my family down. I don't want to sound like that. But I'm telling you, I could not be a glory to the Father with some of these traits. And I had to come to the Father. And I had to say, deliver me and make me a vessel that will be a glory to your name. And hope, my hope is in the gospel story. My hope is in my salvation. My hope is in the fact that God is able to temper me and change me and fashion me. And I'm telling you, it's a great hope for Him to do that for us. Thank the Lord. I have a number of scriptures, but I think you're going to have to take the subject and go home and study it. So I'm going to end with Psalms 32. You know what? It's 31. I thought I'd really messed up. But I have a hope that He'll help me. I'm going to read verses 19 and 20 and 23 and 24. These verses just spoke to me. Oh, would you allow me to read another one, though, before I do that one? This one is in Zechariah. Zechariah 9, I got to read several verses there too. This is so good. If you could sometime read it yourself. Verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter, shout. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt. Here's prophecy. That's prophecy. But I want to tell you, you can claim it. You can claim Him coming to you. He shall speak peace, the latter part of verse 10, unto the heathen. And His dominion shall be from sea even to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. In verse 11, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. And then look at verse 12. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. What does it mean to be a prisoner of hope? It means to be shut up to hope. Nothing else is going to affect my hope. I'm going to be shut up, locked up with hope. Turn to the stronghold. Turn to the one that can help us. If you're a prisoner of hope. Okay, verse 19 of the 31st chapter. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid upon them that fear thee, which has wrought for them that trust in thee. Verse 20. thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion. This is our hope. He has a secret place that he wants to hide you and me. Actually, these are talking about the strife of tongues and about the pride of man. You and I need a place to hide in those places. And that's our hope. Verse 23. O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. He'll give you the courage that you need. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.